In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's readings present to us the ultimate challenge we will ever face in life, and the ultimate answer to the question of what we are supposed to do with this life that God gave us. They are fundamentally readings about the nature of faith. What does it mean to have true faith? Let us approach this challenge and this answer with humility, with trust, with a willingness to cast aside our preconceived notions and really take seriously the revelation of Jesus Christ. We start with the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Now remember the context here. This was the time of the reign of King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel. He had married the pagan Jezebel and had turned Israel to pagan worship, to worship of the demon Baal. As a result, Elijah prophesied a great drought and famine to come over Israel, and then he went out into the desert. After the river went dry, God sent Elijah to the pagan city of Zarephath, where he met the widow in today's reading. The drought has brought starvation to the city of Zarephath, and the widow and her son were down to their last bit of flour and oil, one last meal before they would give themselves over to starvation and die. Elijah makes a bold request from so desperate an individual. He asks her to give him the last of their food, to let him eat before them. And he promises them a miracle, that they too shall eat, and in fact shall eat for the next year. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were starving and had one last meal to feed myself and my child, I'm not so sure I would be very eager to give that meal up to some strange prophet from a foreign religion, no matter what he might promise. But despite not being a daughter of Israel, this woman had a faith in God, and she saw God in Elijah, and she decided to make an act of faith, a leap of faith. She gave everything to Elijah, to God, really, and she simply trusted. Her faith and trust was repaid. Our gospel reading is similar. A widow makes the effort to travel to the temple to donate her last 2 cents to God. As Christ says, it's her whole livelihood. Now that 2 cents probably represented a meal for one more day. One more day in which she would not have to suffer, would not have to beg, would not have to wonder if she would eat or not. But she gave that in faith and trust to the Lord. And God sees that as the greatest of gifts, much greater than any gift a rich person might give out of their wealth. This is the faith we are called to, my brothers and sisters. It is a radical trust in God that He will provide for us, that if we give Him everything, He will return to us 1,000-fold. We are not called to give God an hour of our time on Sunday. We are not called to drop a little bit in the collection plate and pat ourselves on the back for our generosity. We are called to give God everything, and not just all of our wealth, but all of our time, all of our energy. When we teach marriage preparation, my wife and I tell the couples that they have 3 finite resources that they must allocate in their lives: time, money, and energy. Everything depends on how we spend those 3 things. We are not called to give God just a piece of each. We are not called simply to prioritize God. We are called to give God all of it and to trust that He will give back to us what we need and that He will do so abundantly. But that is so hard on so many levels in this crazy materialist world. We see countries where millions are homeless and starving due to war and famine. Other countries where people have to hide their religion lest they be persecuted and even killed. And even in our own country, we see people imprisoned for daring to pray in the wrong place. We see people losing their jobs and livelihood for proclaiming God's truth. And we see millions of babies sacrificed on the altar of selfishness. How do we trust in a God's abundant mercy in such a world? It takes a total renunciation of self, a trust that eventually the drought will end and the rains will come. One way to do that is to give up our possessions, our time, and our energy, and enter the religious life or the priesthood. People sacrifice everything, autonomy, self-seeking, even family, and serve God in this way. Sadly, too few Catholics even see this as an option. They see that level of sacrifice as something foreign and strange, not to be considered. We need to change that attitude. We need to encourage our young people to show them that a vocation to the religious life or the priesthood is as attainable and as fulfilling as a vocation to marriage, even more so, and that it is a wonderful way to live a life so that they do not ignore God's call when it comes to them. But what about the rest of us? Most of us will not be called to the religious life. Most of us will be called to raise families, to contribute to society through our jobs and our labors. How do we then emulate the widow of Zarephath and give God everything, our last bit of flour, our last two pennies? Again, it is not enough to just go to Mass every week, to contribute to the collection, to call ourselves Catholics and call it good. True, we cannot give away all our wealth because God gave us a responsibility to feed and clothe our children, to care for our aging parents, to contribute to the goods of society, and to help care for our neighbors. But it is the knowledge of those responsibilities that gives us the answer to this great challenge. The money we have, the time we have, the energy we have is not ours. It all belongs to God. He has trusted us with it as stewards, and we must manage it according to His will. In practice, this means that in every moment of every day, we strive to reject our selfish desires and instead to do as God wants us to do. We avoid wasting our time and energy on frivolous activities. We think of others before ourselves. We practice the virtues of modesty, temperance, and generosity in all things that we do. Practically speaking, we can begin and end our day in prayer, setting aside just 15 minutes in the morning and the evening for God. We can read scripture every day so that we can learn more and more what God really wants of us. We can put donations to the church and to charity first in our budget, and we can increase those donations so that they hurt even just a little. We can find ways to volunteer our time to help our church and our neighbor and make that not just an afterthought, but an important part of our week. We can turn our backs on the addictions of modern life that distract us from God: social media, television, pornography, video games, alcohol, anything that is a problem for us. We can perform sacrifices and mortifications every day, not just during Lent, to train ourselves to reject our selfishness and focus on God's desires for our life. In everything we do, we can ask ourselves, is this what God wants me to do, or is it what I want? The extreme faith of the two widows in today's readings is not some lofty, unattainable goal. It is how God wants us to live. If we do these things, God will bless us one way or another. Eventually, if we turn ourselves over to Him, He will reward us with an eternity of joy, an eternity of plenty, an eternity of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.